And good morning. We welcome you in. It's Thursday, and it's My Car Guru on the air here as we welcome Lenny Lawson, the Car Guru.
Hello, Tim. You know, this Thursday, which is Good Friday, there's going to be a mother's meeting for fathers only. The admission is free. Pay at the door. Find a seat and sit on the floor. Wear your best clothes if you haven't any, and thank you for your best unkind attention. You ever heard that?
You've said it before.
I learned that when I was about 8 years old.
Yeah.
My cousin Skip from California. Everything cool comes from California, and that was just something that he learned. And I have said that. Every time I hear the word Thursday,
mm-hmm.
I think of my little rhyme. I don't guess you'd call that a rhyme.
It's more
prose,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
I like memorizing stuff. I still remember my fraternity creed. I can still say the Greek alphabet forwards and backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not real talents that are going to get you anything in life.
Just something neat to know as you continue to go through life.
Test your mind mm-hmm. a little bit.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think we need to test certain things in life. There are certain things that I would like for people to stop doing with regards to their cars.
Okay.
And we are going to talk about that today. Most wounds are self-inflicted,
mm-hmm.
Tim. There is a lot of truth to the fact that cars break. There are lemons. I've seen them. Probably in the late 70s, we got a Chevy Nova in. Remember the Nova?
Mm-hmm.
You know what Nova means in Spanish?
Oh, I know this. Tell me.
No go.
No. Yeah, that's right. No go.
That's
yeah.
why they didn't call Novas in Mexico, they called them, or in Spanish-speaking countries, they called them Chevy 2. They continued to call them Chevy
mm-hmm.
2,
mm-hmm.
which is what it originally was with
yeah.
the Chevy 2.
Mm-hmm.
But we got this Nova in and sold it to a customer, and they kept complaining about a rattle in the door. And so Bill Nolan, my old body shop manager, who I love dearly, recently passed away. And I said, Bill, we've got to get this. I was a service advisor at the time, and I said, Bill, we need to get this rattle in the door. So he took the door apart, and he paged me to come back. We actually had a paging system in 1978. Can you imagine?
Mm, that's pretty advanced for them.
Anyway, so he paged me to come to the body shop. Lenny, come to the body shop. Lenny, body shop. So I came back to the body shop. He said, I want to show you something. And he had taken the interior door panel off, and he reached down inside the door, and he pulled it out. And there was a half-undercoated can of Coke, empty can of Coke, stuck in the door. Now, when that Nova had been rolling down the assembly line, somebody had just finished a Coke and stuck it down in
there. Put
it
in there.
Mm-hmm. And we discovered it for this customer. We haven't found any cans of Coke in vehicles, but we do find issues sometimes. Another thing that happens occasionally is transportation damage. And so I'm selling a Lincoln Navigator to a customer right now. I'm not a Lincoln dealer, but I still sell Lincolns to folks when they want them. And we can still do warranty work on Lincolns, so that's kind of an interesting thing. But this Navigator had transportation damage. The front bumper was scratched. And so I sold it to this guy. I've got to go pick it up, hopefully this weekend. It's at Hilton Head at a dealer called O.C. Welch Ford
okay.
Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to go down and pick up this Navigator for this customer of mine in Johnson City. But they had to fix the bumper first. Many years ago, I was, as a service advisor, I was charged with inspecting vehicles when they came off the trucks. Now, if a vehicle comes off the truck and it has damage on it, we have to note it on the inspection, on the form of the delivery bill of lading. We have to note it on that, or we can't file a transportation claim and get paid for fixing it. Now, I have seen vehicles badly damaged, like busted windshields and caved in tops and just terrible things on a truck. And when we get those, we park them to the side, and at the time, General Motors or Ford or whatever will buy those back, typically,
yeah.
or the carrier's insurance company, because I don't want a vehicle that has a problem. But if there's a small scratch or like a scratch on a bumper or something like that, a small scratch in the paint, a star in the windshield. You know, we're required to take those cars, fix them, and then sell them. And so this particular vehicle, thank goodness this wasn't a painted bumper. This has got the chrome section of the bumper was scratched. But when we have to paint a car, I would want to know that if I'm a customer. You know, factory paint is always going to be preferable to aftermarket paint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you buy a vehicle that has had a scratch on the fender and it's been transportation damage and they've had to paint that fender, I think the customer needs to know that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it's tough, you know, when you, let's say you get a vehicle in, you know, you've gotten 30 vehicles in that month. You know, you've sold a bunch of them. You've got 200 vehicles out there on the lot. It's very easy for something that came in with a scratch on the fender to get lost in the shuffle. You know, so it's out there, and you. So we put a notation in the file so that at least the finance manager is going to see it. But that's a problem. You know, and so you might ask when you're buying a car, I mean, I know this seems very obscure, maybe too detailed. But gosh, I would want to know if it had any transportation damage. I mean, you don't want to feel like you need to inspect a car and like feel for tape lines, you know, around the edge of a door.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at a car and it's a new car and the paint doesn't match, or you see a little overspray, you know, maybe on the frame or inner fender, or you know, you should probably step back from the car on both sides, you know, get 15, 20 feet away and preferably in good light and just make sure the paint matches. Now, I can tell you this, the paint on the plastic bumpers is not going to always match the paint on the fenders and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a slight variation.
Hmm.
Not all, let me take that back. There's usually a slight variation.
Yeah.
I guess just the different surface and the different primers that they have to use on plastic parts versus steel or aluminum parts. So if you see those variations, it's just factory. But if you see, you know, the fender doesn't match, I would want to know, you know, if they actually had any transportation damage.
Mm-hmm.
And the salesperson you're talking to won't know. He doesn't have a clue.
Yeah.
He'll have to go ask his manager. And the manager may want to talk to you or whatever, and they go check the file and say, "Ooh, this one did have some transportation damage." You know what that calls for, don't you, Timmy? A discount.
Yeah.
I mean, if you still want the vehicle, you should be able to get, you know, some money off for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just rather go on to the next vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, buy one that doesn't have transportation damage. So something else to be concerned about when you're buying a new car.
All right. Well, let's take our first break. We will come back with more right after this. And we're back here, My Car Guru, for Thursday morning, discussing, some issues, I guess, with some cars.
Yeah, things you should probably stop doing.
Yeah.
If you're doing any of these behaviors, stop it.
Just stop it.
Just stop it. One of those behaviors is ignoring your check engine light.
Putting black tape over it.
And other warning lights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, drivers, they often think that they can ignore a check engine light because they think, well, it's just an emissions problem. You know, it just means I'm spewing some more nitrous oxides
into the atmosphere,
yeah. You know. You know, and it's true that the early onboard diagnostics computers, that started way back in 1982, and they just monitored emission systems, but that changed, Timmy. Mm-hmm. That changed in 1996 with the introduction of version 2 of the onboard diagnostic system. On cars and trucks made after that date, check engine or service engine soon, along with other warning lights, can indicate a problem with your oil,
mm-hmm.
With your cooling system, with your engine valve timing, with the engine itself, the transmission, the brakes, the stability control, the traction control, your four-wheel drive. Your all-wheel drive, your airbag, you know, it could be have something to do with your air conditioning system, your lighting, your wipers, your cruise control, all of that stuff
mm-hmm.
Can turn on a light on your dash, and mm-hmm. it's important not to ignore those. A check engine is kind of zeroing in on the engine, they do indicate a lot more things, and it's important. Now, what some people do is they will go to a auto parts store like O'Reilly or Advance or someplace like that, and they go in and say, yeah, I have a check engine light. Would you guys come out and scan it? And they will. You know, they'll come out and scan it,
mm-hmm.
and they'll tell you, well, this is indicating that your O2 sensor is faulty, or this will indicate this or that. Or it's saying that this is a transmission code. And if, you know, that's when you start getting really concerned. And then what happens, you know, that's typically a free thing. They won't charge to do that. Then you go to the dealer. And here's what happens at the dealership. Now, some dealers will do a free diagnostic. And we do a free diagnostic when we do the repairs. If we have to do a diagnostic, we go more. It's not like just going out to the car and plugging in. We've got to pull it into the shop. Technician who is paid by the hour, that's how they get paid,
mm-hmm.
Takes it into the shop and gets our computer system. We have a very sophisticated thing from Ford and one from Nissan. And then we have one for other brand cars as well. Pretty expensive equipment that we plug into it, and it really goes further as far as the diagnostic. It gets you the story behind the story. Sometimes mm-hmm. if you replace a faulty O2 sensor, the check engine light will still pop on.
Yeah.
It's because there's something else that is mm-hmm. getting a faulty code. So this is not as easy as a lot of people think it is, but don't ignore the check engine light because it means a lot more than you think. Another thing is just waiting too long for regular maintenance. We disassembled an engine the other day, and you should have seen the crud that was in this engine. I mean, it was like, instead of like oil, it was like sludge. It looked like a milkshake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was just basically the person just did not maintain their vehicle the way that they should have. Didn't do regular oil changes. You know, what is a regular oil change? It's different. Different people look at it differently. I remember when I first got in the car business, it was every 2,500 miles, 2,000 miles, you change your oil.
Well, Kendall Oil, part of their advertising and marketing was the 2,000-mile oil.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, that's a lot of visits to mm-hmm. the dealership.
Mm-hmm.
The factory recommendation on a Ford is like 7,500 miles.
Mm-hmm.
But you still got to check your oil. I mean, you go 7,500 miles, you may be out of oil.
Yeah.
Now, that's not going to happen very often, and it sure shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
But when you buy a new car, you should check your oil after the first fill-up and just make sure it's still on the full mark.
Mm-hmm.
And then every 1,000 miles up to the first 5,000 miles, just pull your dipstick out, let it settle. You know, don't just go into your garage on a cold car and pull the dipstick out because the oil will migrate up the dipstick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it does that, but it does. And make sure you're on a flat surface. Pull the dipstick out, wipe it off,
mm-hmm.
and then stick it. Make sure when you wipe it off, look and make sure you know how to read it,
mm-hmm.
you know, where the full mark is. Stick it back in, let it sit there for a second or two, then pull it back out and look at it,
mm-hmm.
and it should be on the full mark. If it's gone down some, that's okay. I mean, a vehicle is going to use a little bit of oil.
Yeah. Some more than others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when the RX-7 first came out, the Mazda RX-7 had mm-hmm. a rotary engine. If it didn't use a quart every 1,000 miles, something was wrong with it.
Yeah.
It was designed to do that.
Right.
And a lot of people that bought them, you know, they just didn't realize that. So, obviously, we need to check your oil. You know,
go ahead. I think it's good every 1,000 miles, even if it's a newer vehicle.
To check
your oil. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a bad idea.
Just
once
to
you
see
realize,
if it's burning any.
Well,
you know.
Once you, on a newer car, once you realize what it's going to do on a regular basis,
mm-hmm.
you can spread that out.
Yeah.
You know, you might go 2,500 miles halfway. Just put it on your calendar to check the oil in your car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of other fluids in your engine.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of transmissions now are sealed. There is no stick.
Yeah.
It's just permanent fluid.
Yeah.
Okay. I recommend you can change that fluid, and I recommend it at about 75,000 miles, even though they say never change it.
Mm-hmm.
Checking your coolant and your level of coolant protection is very important. If you skip routine coolant changes, you risk early water pump failure, heater core, radiator failure.
Mm-hmm.
A coolant change could cost, I don't know, if you flush it and everything, probably $175, maybe, if you do a complete flush and do all
mm-hmm.
of that.
Mm-hmm.
But a heater core, it's $1,300.
Mm.
That'll get your attention. You know, a new engine costs anywhere from $5,000 to, if it's a diesel engine, it could cost $15,000, $18,000 to replace an engine.
Mm-hmm.
Transmission rebuild typically runs around $3,500 or so.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things that will impact your life. You know, if you, I mean, you have something like that, you're going to have to borrow money in some cases. It's much easier just to, you know, have a dependable shop that you go to, whether it's an independent or a new car dealer. It doesn't matter as much as just the fact that you are consistent with it, you know, and taking care of business. Don't ignore unusual noises, clicking sounds, clunking sounds, rumbling, screeching, squealing. I'm trying to think of other terms. Grinding.
Grinding of the front brakes, those kinds of things.
You know, when you apply your brakes and you hear, there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very possible if you hadn't been checking your brakes that your pads have worn out, and pads are held on, the actual pad itself is held on to the metal on the back plate with a rivet.
Mm-hmm.
And those rivets work wonders on a brake rotor. I mean, they'll just cut grooves into your brake rotor,
mm-hmm.
and your rotor will then have to be replaced. You know, sometimes you can turn rotors. You put them on a lathe,
mm-hmm.
either an on-car brake lathe, or you take them off, and they can only grind them down so far, and then you're replacing rotors.
Yeah.
And if you replace rotors with factory rotors, they're pretty expensive. If you do, you know, an aftermarket rotor, they're not as expensive. But then again, they're probably made in China, and they're not as high-quality metal. And they just won't work. I always, when I'm doing brakes, Timmy, I'm going factory.
Mm-hmm.
If I've got a Honda, I want Honda rotors and I want Honda brake pads.
Mm-hmm.
They're the engineers design them. Now, they may be made by the same company that O'Reilly gets them from, but I doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they're made under a different specification. You know, sometimes when I go to the store and I want Rice-A-Roni or something like that, I'm going to get the original San Francisco treat. You know, I'm not going to go with the aftermarket Rice-A-Roni. I don't think it'll be as good.
The Acme brand or something like that.
Acme Rice-A-Roni.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. So don't ignore these noises. Don't ignore smells either. That is just kind of funny when I say that, but if oily burning smell means oil or fluids are leaking onto your hot engine and exhaust components. You know, if you jump on it now, it might just be a valve cover. You know, hopefully it's not a rear main oil seal or, you know, hopefully you don't have a blown head gasket or something like that. But if you do, you need to know it because it's going to strain you on the side of the road if you don't, just get it addressed. You know, sometimes mechanics will misdiagnose stuff. It happens. We do it. I mean, it's just like sometimes when I go to the doctor, he says, well, Lenny, I think you have a head cold, you know, and I've actually got the flu or something. You know, they misdiagnose stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
But a burning rubber smell could be a sign of a drive belt system failure that could cause engine overheating and engine damage and leave you stranded. A burning smell coming from your brakes means they're not operating properly. None of these are normal, and you need to pay attention to it. Let's see here. I wanted to make sure I covered some. Oh, driving on worn tires. I mean, this is just crazy. It was kind of slick this morning, you know, coming out my driveway, I noticed. And mm-hmm. if you don't have enough tread on your tires, then you're playing with your life. You know, and they used to say that 2/32 of an inch is when the tires are worn out. I think they're worn out long before that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be able to, because of hydroplaning and because of just sheer traction, I mean, you really need to pay attention to your tires. And if your tires are more than 7 years old, you need to replace them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are cracked, the rubber doesn't last, all the different temperature fluctuations that we have in East Tennessee. And I know tires are expensive. Even if you have to buy a low-end brand at Walmart, at least they have some tread, you know, and they'll mm-hmm. last. But, you know, 2/32 is the legal limit in a lot of states. And, you know, right now you can get tire deals where you buy three, get one free. There's all kinds of deals like that you can get. You know, if you bump your tires, if you see a bubble, like on the outside of your tire, like it's swollen out, like it's got a pimple or something on it, bigger than that, though, you know, maybe fist-sized bubble, that's bad.
That's trouble.
If you see steel cords sticking out of the tire tread, that's really bad.
That's real bad.
Yeah. So these are just a few things that you need to do. There are other things like replacing worn wiper blades. You know, if a wiper blade wears all the way through, all of a sudden you got metal scratching your windshield, that's not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few more. We'll talk a few more right after we get back.
And we're back here for the final minute of My Car Guru on this Thursday morning.
Yeah, don't tell the mechanic that you're dealing with what to fix. He probably knows more than you do.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you may have heard from your Uncle Pete. You know, he said, well, I'd replace the self-lubricating Congo bearings. And, you know, you go and tell that to the mechanic. And he said, well, let's do a good diagnosis. You know, don't complain about some shop supply charges. You know, it's expensive to run these shops, and sometimes you'll see a supply charge on there. If it looks excessive, usually it's 5% of labor, Tim, is what most shops charge. For supplies.
5%
labor. Yeah, I mean, they have to use brake cleaner. There's expensive chemicals that they have to use on your car and nuts and bolts and stuff like that. And rather than charge you for every little nut and bolt, sometimes they'll just charge a supply charge. So don't freak out about it unless it's too high. Normally, there's a limit on that. They shouldn't charge you more than 20, 12, 25 bucks or something on an engine job for supply charges. You know, keeping your car clean. Making sure that your floorboard is clear of clutter. These kind of things tend to get people to do other things as well. If you look at a car and you see a bunch of trash in it, they're probably not taking care of their engine either.
Right.
You know, it's just a character. It's just, well, I'm not saying it implies that they have a bad character. It's just the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, try to avoid some of these things, and I think you'll be a happier, healthier car owner.
All right. That's what we want. That'll do it for My Car Guru on this Thursday morning. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.